payments, especially in relation to payments. The show, as always, is sponsored by ICS Skills, who bring you Equal Skills, the fun and exciting way for complete beginners to learn all about using computers and the internet for young and old. As we are learning, the internet is part of our lives, with over 50% of the population connected. The internet drives our lives in so many ways, from the basics such as email and searching for something on Google, to podcasts. And that means this program can now be downloaded to listen to on an iPod or your computer. And of course, monitoring your home security can now be done through the internet as well. One of the greatest fears is fear of the unknown. And so it pays to be up to date not only in what you can get from the internet, but also the dangers from viruses to credit card fraud, pornography to identity theft. The list goes on. And at least by being aware, you can take evasive maneuvers and stay on the safe road. As always, this show is about you. We want your participation so we can be sure we cover the issues you want to know about. So please do call us throughout the show on 01-865-8020, that's 01-865-8020. And of course, given that we're on the internet, you can email us on internetwithoutfear, that's all one word, at dublincityfm.ie. internetwithoutfear at dublincityfm.ie. So, card fraud levels in Ireland reached something like 12 million in 2007. Now, while chip and PIN has dramatically reduced Ireland's exposure to card fraud in a card-present environment, by the way, card-present, what that actually means is the person is there handing over the card to another human being and they are there beside the card at all times. Let's say a card not present might be when you're ringing up somewhere and giving your card details over the phone, or conversely, using the internet. Buying online takes almost all of the physical effort out of shopping, enables you to shop with retailers from around the world, and helps you to find the very best of deals. For these reasons, and many more, shopping online has become hugely popular in Ireland. In fact, something like 20 to 30% of Irish debit and credit card transactions are now carried out in the card-not-present environment, i.e. online. Although the vast majority of businesses operating online are honest and legitimate organisations, 64% of all card fraud in Ireland is carried out in a card-not-present environment, and this percentage is likely to grow unless we continue to be vigilant. There is another area which it can also happen, which is the whole area of identity fraud, and some 92% of employees believe that the identity of their firm's staff and customers could be stolen by a fraudster. And this study was undertaken as part of the National Identity Fraud Prevention Week, which took place in Ireland between the 6th and 12th of October. And 75% of employees expressed the view that their organisation should be doing more to prevent ID fraud. Now, again, please do call us. The number is 01-865-8020. So I'm joined here by Una, and so specifically for you, Una, could you please tell me what you believe IPSO is doing to make the internet a safer place for us mortals?
What we're doing, well, I suppose the first thing to say really is just to explain who we are. IPSO is the Irish Payment Services Organisation, and we're owned by the retail banks in Ireland, so the banks that provide payment cards to consumers and the banks that allow transactions to go through at their retail outlets. So what we do is we represent all of those banks, and we represent the banks both in Ireland and in Europe. So if there are groups across Europe that are being set up to cover specific topics, we will represent the banks on those groups. Now, some of those are fraud prevention groups. So one of the first things we're doing is, I suppose, an information gathering exercise. So we set up a card fraud forum under IPSO, which has a senior member of a fraud department from each of the banks and card issuers. We also have the Gardaí, the PSNI, and the card schemes, who would be the likes of Visa, MasterCard, Laser, and so on, sit on that group. So what we do is we gather all of the information, so the issues that are out there, and then our main aim is to come up with solutions to those issues. So generally, I suppose we're probably in the lucky position, being on the west side of Europe, that we see a lot of issues in relation to fraud coming across Europe from Eastern European countries. A lot of fraud in Europe hits the UK first and France first for no apparent reason, but they just happen to hit there first. So we can usually be in that lucky position where we find out what frauds are out there, and we can put preventative measures into place in Ireland before they actually reach this country. So in terms of the internet fraud, you mentioned there about chip and PIN. At the time, we had a particular problem with card fraud. We were measuring fraud, and we could see that figures for specifically lost and stolen frauds, so where someone's card is lost or stolen and it's used in a retail outlet, or skimming fraud or counterfeit fraud where someone's card is copied. We saw those particular frauds were increasing at a rate of 38% year on year. So something had to be done, and that's where Chip and PIN came along. So Chip and PIN was brought in just to get rid of those specific frauds. It was never meant as a cure-all. It was just brought in to cure or to fix the frauds that we were seeing an increase in at the time. Now, I suppose, unfortunately, because of the success of Chip and PIN, you know, we've seen like a huge decrease in those particular types of fraud. But because of that decrease, the criminals are still out there. They still need their income or their revenue, so they've moved to this other area, which is internet fraud. So as you mentioned, we've seen a 64% increase in internet fraud. Now, predominantly where that occurs is where it's less about retailers on the internet being fraudulent. It's more about criminals obtaining your card details, so your debit or your credit card details, through whatever means, and there are a number of ways that they've been able to get card numbers. They then use your card to purchase goods on the internet. It's usually for resale, so they might buy high-value goods. So one of the things that we do is we try to raise awareness about fraud prevention and top tips on keeping your own details safe and top tips on using the internet and being safe online. We actually set up a website called safecard.ie to provide exactly that information to consumers and to retailers alike.
Una, if I can just... So the website is safecard.ie, but for those people who might be in their cars or driving around, could you sort of tell us some of the tips that we should think about to stay safe?
Absolutely. I suppose the first and foremost, again, you mentioned that, you know, more than 50% of people use the internet now for shopping. It's become, you know, very commonplace, and especially coming up to Christmas, a lot of people will be using the internet. The first thing, you know, that we would suggest is that you would use websites that you're familiar with. So use known reputable retailers or retailers that friends or family have been using for a long time. That's not to say that new retailers are not above board, but known websites are going to be quite safe. Make sure that your browser and your web facilities at home or in the office are up to the proper standards in terms of security. So make sure your antivirus software is up to date. You can actually download antivirus software from the internet, or you can get there's actually another website was set up called Make It Secure, so makeitsecure.org, to provide information to people on how to get antivirus software and so on. Things like, you know, the retailer name across the top line, across the address line, changes from HTTP to HTTPS when you're in a secure site, so make sure you look out for that S. Also the little...
You're talking about HTTP and HTTPS. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Sorry, when you log on to, say, for example, safecard.ie, when you log on to that particular website, the address line at the top of your screen shows http://www.safecard.ie. Now, if you go onto a retailer's website, so, you know, a known retailer, what happens when you go into the purchase section of that site, so if you're going to purchase something, you basically go into a secure website. Some people might be familiar with a pop-up screen that says, do you want to go into a secure or unsecure section of this website? You should always click on the secure section. And when that happens, you see the S appearing on the address line. It's just one of the things that you can look out for. Really, I think, you know, there are lots of things on retailers' websites, like terms and conditions, things like, you know, your rights as a consumer, refund policies, timelines for delivery. You know, these are all things that you can look out for. So when you're shopping online, as I said, you know, make sure that you're familiar with the retailer and that it is a reputable retailer. If your bank supports, we have a new technology that's rolling out at the moment called 3D Secure, and some banks out there actually support this at the moment. So if you are on a website and it asks you for your 3D Secure password, this is sort of like Chip and PIN for the internet. Now, I don't want to bamboozle the listeners with, you know, technology or technical terms and so on. Again, all of that information is on our SafeCard website. I could talk all day about the policies that are out there, but certainly there are things that you can do. Just, you know, be safe. Don't give, you know, your information. One thing I would, you know, most definitely say is never give out your PIN. So the PIN number that you use at the point of sale or at ATMs, an internet retailer would never ever ask you for that PIN. They should should never ask you for it, and you should never divulge it to anyone. So where some retailers might ask you for the card security code on the back of your card, that's the three digits that appear on your signature line, and they would never ever ask you for your PIN number, so make sure you don't hand that over.
Those three digits, I mean, we used to be told never to give those out because somebody could write those down and go off and do anything they like with them. I mean, how can I be sure that when somebody asks me for them, it's safe?
No one should ever ask you to divulge the PIN out loud. Obviously, at point of sale, someone asks you to key in your PIN number. So, you know, what we would say is when you're keying in the PIN, whether it's at an ATM or at a point of sale, just to cover the PIN pad with your free hand when you're keying that in, because unfortunately, you know, we have people out there who, you know, can copy card details, although we're seeing a lot fewer incidents of that, and there are people out there, and once they have your PIN number, they copy the card details. What they do is they usually take them away to, they'll recreate a new card using your card details. What they do then is they take them to countries where chip and PIN hasn't been implemented. So as a consumer, you more than likely get your money back because your card has clearly been used without a chip, without your authorization, and more than likely in another country. But you just have to go through the hassle of querying the transaction with your bank. And again, I suppose that goes on to the point I wanted to make about seeing unauthorized transactions on your account. It's very important that people will go through their statements, whether it's on the current account for their debit card or on their credit card statements, and to dispute or to query transactions on there that you just don't recognize. Now, if you see something that you don't recognize immediately, you know, just have a look at the transaction, the time of the time that it took place and so on, and, you know, just check back, you know, try and recall if you gave your card to a family member or to a friend and so on, because actually something like 50% of claims of fraud with the banks actually turn out to be legitimate transactions where either the customer themselves carried out the transaction or a family member had access to the PIN and the card. So just be sure that, you know, if you see something you don't recognize in your account, that you do query it with your bank.
And we do know that people sort of can forget payments and things they receive or not receive. One of the things on some of the sites I've seen, they have shopping carts with, say, Visa or Maestro or HackerSafe logos. I mean, does that mean it's safe, or are there any other sort of things I should look for, as well as this S in the HTTP?
Well, things like Visa and Maestro and so on, they're simply logos just to advise you what cards are accepted by that merchant. So I suppose it's good to look out for, there are other payment options as well. You might see PayPal on a retailer's website. Really, I think, depending on the type of information that the retailer is looking for, unfortunately, it's actually quite safe. We get very few instances of fraudulent retailers on the internet. There is just really a small percentage out there of retailers who will try to get as much information as possible. So I would just be wary about the kind of information that people would be asking you for. Really, to carry out a transaction over the internet, a retailer would just need your card number. So that's either your debit or your credit card. They would need your expiry date. They'll need your name. They more than likely need your home address or your billing address, so that the address that your statement is sent out to. They will never ask you for your PIN. They may ask you for your card security number, but it's actually illegal for the retailer to hold on to that information. So really, they're the basics. If they start asking for more, like bank account numbers, bank location, type of bank account, anything specifically relating to your bank, you know, be wary of retailers like that. If you are suspicious, if you have any concerns about using a particular website, just, you know, shut that website down and you know, don't give your details over to them at all. And if you are, you know, if you're uncertain, or if you've purchased goods and you haven't received them, contact your bank, because your bank will be able to tell you your rights as a cardholder and as a customer. Again, I know certainly our website, the safecards.ie website, has a lot of information on customer rights and on preventative measures, and also the Consumer Association of Ireland also has information there on people with regard to their rights for shopping online.
You said one thing there which is, again, I hope you could clarify. You said we may get compensation, for example, say my card's been taken and used in some Far Eastern country. Mm-hmm. How can I guarantee, who let's say is at fault, and how has that worked out?
Well, in actual fact, when you use your card on the internet, you have quite a lot more rights you know, almost as a consumer than you do, you know, if you're shopping in a face-to-face environment. And basically that means, I suppose, for the retailer's perspective, if you think about it, they're taking a transaction from you without taking a swipe of your card, without taking a PIN or a signature in most cases. So it's actually, you know, it's the retailer really who's taking a risk. And again, on the safecard.ie website, we have advice for retailers on you know, preventing fraud happening to them. But for the consumer, basically, if you have a transaction on your account that was carried out in a card not present environment, and you described what card not present means earlier, basically your bank is obliged to request information from that retailer to prove that you did actually carry out the transaction. So what happens is your bank will go to the retailer's bank. They will say, we need information on this transaction. My cardholder doesn't recognize it. Now, it is then up to the retailer to provide proof that you or the bona fide cardholder actually did carry out the transaction. So they may have your email address. They may have your home address. They may be able to provide, you know, if there was a delivery docket, something that was signed by you and so on. But it is up to them to prove that you did actually carry out the transaction. So if your transaction is fraudulent, so if someone else has stolen your card details and has used your card details, I mean, the chances are that retailer didn't follow their security steps that either their bank provided or that, you know, the information we have on Safeguard. And it means that, you know, they didn't make sure that the person on the other end of the phone or the other end of the internet actually was the correct cardholder. So it is up to them. If they can provide that proof, then your bank can refund the monies to you. So it's probably, you know, worthwhile to know that, because, as I said, you do have more rights when you're shopping on the internet because of that. And again, there are things that retailers can do to help prevent that. So if there are retailers listening and they have concerns about accepting cards in a card not present environment, safeguard.ie has a lot of information up there.
Okay, I mean, so what are you saying then, that the retailer is the one who is liable for the fraudulent transaction?
If there's fraud on an account and the retailer can't provide sufficient information to prove that you actually carried out the transaction, then they will be liable for that transaction. Now, in most cases, retailers provide goods to a particular location. So if a retailer is charged, so if they receive a charge back and they have to refund a customer because of a fraudulent claim, they'll more than likely be able to follow that up with the authorities if they have delivered goods to a particular address. I mean, for retailers, there are some basic things, you know, when they're taking transactions on the internet. We recommend they take steps like take a landline number rather than a mobile phone number from a customer, because mobile phones in general, you know, some of them just can't be traced. Make sure that, you know, they check addresses against card details and, I guess, against customer details. And they can do that through their own bank authorization system, or they can check it on the in the phone book or on the internet and so on. There are other things like, you know, making sure that they've obtained a card security code from the back of the card. Just, you know, general, we have, you know, a full list of things that retailers can do. So if a retailer chooses not to go through those basic security steps and make sure that the person on the other end is the actual cardholder, then they are going to be liable for fraudulent transactions.
We had a recent situation. There was actually my dad. He's 80 years of age, and he got a letter to say to check through his bank statements, because all of his details were on a laptop, which I think was social welfare or the revenue had stolen 16 months ago. So they would have had his address, his account details, and all of those bits and pieces. Now, obviously, nothing had happened because he hadn't seen any untoward transactions. But in a circumstance like that, say a criminal had targeted, got all his details, they could present themselves on the internet to an unsuspecting retailer and just put a different delivery address. Is that not true?
Well, they could attempt to do that, but again, if the retailer has certain security measures in place, so if, say, for example, there are certain retailers where it's going to be a different address. So if I'm purchasing flowers, you know, for a relative, I'm going to be sending, you know, the flowers to another address other than my own. But you know, a lot of it is down to common sense on the retailer's side, and you know, certainly for managers and owners of retail outlets, they need to make sure that their floor staff are familiar with the security measures. If, you know, say, for example, in the case that you mentioned it, I suppose it's similar to identity theft. Someone is claiming to be your father and they're using, you know, his details and so on. But they would have to take that a step further. They would have to actually obtain, you know, a card. So they would have to go into a bank, provide utility bills, provide, you know, photograph ID, to be able to set up a bank account in his name, and then, you know, obtain cards and so on. Which, you know, unfortunately, there are criminals out there who take those steps. They will actually, you know, rather than, I mean, to be honest with you, in most cases that we've had of laptops going missing, it's usually the criminal is just interested in the laptop rather than the information on it. But we have had cases of criminals who will go through bins. You know, they'll carry out what we call bin raiding, and they'll literally look for utility bills from people. They'll look for credit card statements. They'll look for payslips. You know, you'd be surprised the amount of information people will actually just throw out and disregard in the bin. I think we did a survey on shredders not so long ago, and you can actually get one for as little as €10 in a shop. And it's just important, if there's, you know, personal information like that, that you just wouldn't, you know, throw it out. You know, make sure you shred it, or if you're going to keep it at home, just keep it safe, because these people are out there. They will aim to get as much personal information as possible on consumers, and, you know, their aim is to set up bank accounts in your name. So just, you know, keeping that kind of personal information safe. There's also, you know, just regularly checking your statements. You know, we have had cases where, you know, people have been impersonated. A criminal might have obtained a new credit card in their name and you know, sent the card to a new address, and you find, unfortunately, you know, some people wait 30 days to get their card statement and their transactions on it that were clearly not done by them. So, you know, a lot of us, when we get our statement, we might just, you know, throw it out, or we disregard it for a while. It's very important to go through that statement, because I mean, there are genuine errors that happen at retailers as well, and it's worth it just to check out that information on your statement.
And of course, again, this is where the internet could help, because most of us with statements can actually check our statements interim between, let's say, the paper one arriving to us by going online and doing that.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, most people have access to 24-hour banking, whether it's over the phone or on the internet. So it is worth it, especially if you're going abroad. You know, if you're traveling abroad, if you're going on holidays, or if you're going away on business, just to, you know, make sure that you even keep, you know, all of your receipts so that you can match them off. Because unfortunately, you know, again, there are retailers abroad as well who might put through, you know, what we refer to as multiple transactions. So you might have a genuine transaction at what appears to be a genuine jewellery store, for example, but when you get home, you find that two or three more transactions have gone through. And we find, unfortunately, a lot of nightclubs abroad tend to do that. If someone keys in their PIN number at card, they have a tendency to put through more transactions. So just, you know, be wary of your card. I mean, never leave your card out of your sight. You know, don't give someone else access to it. Keep your PIN safe, and make sure that, again, as I said, when you're at an ATM or a point of sale, that you keep it as discreet as possible. I mean, your PIN is your key to your bank account. If someone is shoulder surfing, so if, you know, if they have to be looking over your shoulder in a shop, and as you walk out, if they swipe your wallet or your bag, once they have your PIN, then they can carry out, you know, ATM withdrawals or other transactions on your card. So, again, you know, this probably all sounds very scary, that, you know, there's a lot of fraud out there, but in Ireland, our, you know, fraud levels are much, much lower than the European average. We're actually quite diligent here. I think, you know, customers in Ireland are quite good at keeping their card safe. Also, a lot of the work done through IPSO with the banks here has helped to reduce fraud levels. So, really, our main aim is just to raise awareness. It's like knowing that your car could be stolen. You know, I think we all have a lock on our car or an immobilizer, and we hope to go through life without having our, you know, a car stolen or our house broken into. But it's just knowing that those issues are out there, it really is the first step towards prevention. So really, rather than, you know, wanting to scare anyone, you know, we just want to sort of raise awareness about the fraud issues that are out there. It's still a lot safer to use plastic, and you have much more rights as a consumer than it is to use, say, cash and cheque. So, you know, if €300 is stolen from your wallet, it's gone, that's it. Whereas if your card is stolen and it's used, then you have a comeback there through your bank.
Okay, I mean, in many ways what you're saying, it's if I stay indoors, I use my internet to do all my online shopping, I do absolutely no printing of anything, I can stay quite safe, because nobody actually can get access to me or know any details about me to be able to take those details and impersonate me.
Well, I'd like to say that you would be quite safe, but again, you know, these criminals, I have to say, over the last couple of years, we've seen, you know, more technology, more superior technology, you know, coming out of gangs that are working around the world. We've all heard about, you know, systems being hacked into in the United States where, you know, up to 50 million card numbers were obtained. I mean, what happens in that kind of an instance is, you know, we would normally find out about it within the industry. This is where, say, for example, you use your card on the internet and the retailer at the other end, who is quite genuine, might, you know, hold on to your card details for future use. So if there's a particular website you use all the time, you know, if you're purchasing CDs or you know, something along those lines, if they're the kind of retailer that holds on to your card details, unfortunately, these types of retailers are being targeted, you know, and they're obtaining card numbers. But again, as the consumer, you know, you'll always be protected along those lines. So when your card details are used, it again will be up to the retailer to prove that the person at the other end is the genuine cardholder and is using it with your authorization. So as you said, you know, you have as I said, the vast 99.99% of retailers that you will use your card on the internet are perfectly safe, and it's just a case of, you know, being diligent and keeping your card details as safe as possible.
So you're saying people can hold my details? I mean, what's to stop the retailer just keeping all my details? Is there any law or safety mechanism against that?
Well, it's something to look out for. I think, you know, a lot of us, you know, if we're shopping online, we're just interested in the product and we want to know how quickly we can get it. So, you know, just, you know, look out for the terms and conditions. Make sure that you read the small print, especially if you get a pop-up screen. You might, I know, you know, personally, when I use websites, the screen comes up and asks me if you know, I wouldn't mind if they kept my card details for future use. There are a couple of airlines that do that. You know, if you don't want them to hold on to your card details, just press no. It's just a case of the next time you're using the site, you key in your card details. So usually that's in the terms and conditions, and if you don't want them to hold on to it, you can usually just write to the retailer and say, please delete my card details. So that's, I mean, that it's perfectly simple to be able to do that. So if you are a user of a particular website on a regular basis and you think they might have your card details, I'm sure, you know, they're perfectly safe, but there is that that concern out there now. So you can just get onto that retailer and ask them to delete your details from their files.
And I mean, earlier, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we actually were with on air a company called Sysnet, who actually works, I think, with a lot of the retailers who do that to ensure that there are mechanisms, I'd say, to lock those sites down so they are not open to hackers.
Absolutely. I mean, since that major incident in the United States, the card schemes, Visa and MasterCard, came up with new standards, payment card industry data security standards, and any retailer that actually holds on to card details has to comply with those standards. And if they don't, they're actually fined. And it's, you know, it's easy for the card schemes to know when a retailer doesn't comply with the standards. They can have quite hefty fines. I mean, the schemes can issue fines of, you know, over a quarter of a million euros to a particular retailer. And in some cases, that means the retailer has to shut down. So it's in every retailer's best interest, if you're the type of retailer that holds on to card information, to ensure that you actually do comply with these standards. And if you're not sure what I'm referring to, if you just contact your acquiring bank, so the bank that processes your card transactions for you, they'll talk to you about PCI. We have more information on payment card industry data security standards on the Safecard website as well. So if someone wants to have a look at that, but it's an extra step for security and should make consumers feel safer when using their cards online.
Well, that's super. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Una. That's all we've got time from. So thank you to all the listeners for listening to this week's program with Peter Aldous and Una Dill of the Lipso, the voice and guardian of the payments industry in Ireland. The Internet Without Fear is brought to you by ICS Skills with their program Equal Skills, where you can learn all about the Internet in a fun and exciting way, even if you're a complete beginner. Next week, I'm going to be joined by Avril Lamplu, who is the principal of Rathdown Junior School, and we'll discuss how a school works with the Internet and how parents can take the appropriate measures to keep their children safe on the Internet. So until next Wednesday at 1:30, thanks for listening and have a great week.